Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And also 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to talk to you tonight very briefly about disappointment. Disappointment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1 it says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter." Isn't that a sad thing tonight? You know, the world doesn't have a comforter. I'm glad I have one tonight. There's a lot of oppressions and disappointments in the world. But I'm glad that I have a comforter. They don't have. Years ago, I was in a, we had a problem. And there was a preacher down in a place called Louisville, Nebraska, right south of Omaha. His name was Everett Sullivan. And he had a Christian school. And he would not take a license from the state. And so they put him in jail. And eventually they put seven of the fathers in jail. And because they wouldn't take the state license. And you wouldn't think that in the state of Nebraska. You know, you'd think it was conservative. But that's a liberal state. That's when they had a governor named Kerry there, the Vietnam vet. Remember him? Went on to be a senator. And he lived with, he was shacking up with a playgirl at the time, playmate. And he was the governor. And but that sheriff down there, his name was Tesh. And he just was, they went into a church service. Preachers were praying on a Sunday night, about 100 of them. And can we turn the thermostat down just a little? And they picked him up bodily and drug him out of the church and padlocked the church. In America, it happened in America, in Nebraska, in the Bible Belt, so-called. But that Tesh was unmerciful toward the Christians. And he'd get in there and go up in the pulpit, you know, and mockery. And there's a holy pulpit, a sacred desk, they call it. But as the thing went on, his wife had a nervous breakdown. She was in cahoots with him, and they could not. They were oppressing, and they had no comforter. And these guys are in jail singing songs.
Amen.
Singing songs.
Amen.
Everett Sullivan was singing in jail, singing songs and writing books.
Amen.
And praising God. And he said, therefore, in verse 2, he said, "Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive." Ain't that something? Yea, why? Better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Go over here to 1 Samuel in chapter 30. The world is full of disappointments tonight. Amen? If you live long enough, you'll have them. You young people, you've had them. They haven't been that difficult yet, and they haven't been that serious yet. For the most part, you know, but you're going to have them. You're going to have them. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city." They'd been up there by Achish, you know, and were going to be confederate with him, but he told them, "I don't want you on my side." And so while he was gone, the Amalekites came down. It's kind of a thing like the Amalekites were the ones that Saul were supposed to utterly destroy. He didn't get rid of them, so later on they came and wreaked some havoc on David's wives and children and his men's wives and children and their possessions. Verse 3 says, "And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Well, that was quite a disappointing thing. Amen? And they wept until there was no more power to weep. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. And verse 5 says, "And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, Lightus, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, a disappointment is this in the dictionary. It's the defeat of an expectation, or a wish, or a hope, or a desire, or an intention. It's a frustration. You know, a bad season, when there's no rain, will disappoint the farmer. You know, he expects something. You know, you get a promised visit from someone, and you're disappointed when they don't show up. I'm disappointed sometimes because the Lord hasn't showed up. You know, he said, I'm going to come again, and he just won't come. That disappoints me a little bit. Doesn't it disappoint you? I mean, if that's not a disappointment, you know, to you and I, then we're not living where we ought to live. I mean, we want him to come back. Life is full of them, as I've said. Moses did not get to cross the Jordan River. You know, he wanted to. I mean, you know, he really wanted to get over there. And he messed up, you know, when he hit the rock a couple of times instead of speaking to it, and he didn't get to. I'm sure that was quite a disappointment to him. After 40 years in the wilderness and leading the children of Israel and all these promises that were given him to what was going to happen when you got in the other land, that land of milk and honey, I'm sure it was quite a disappointment to him. I know another disappointment happened in the Bible, and that was when David, he was not able to build the temple. David really wanted to build the temple. I mean, he loved God. He was called a man after God's own heart. And God said, no, you can't do it because you're a man of war. You've been a man of war, and you've shed a lot of blood, and I'm going to have your son do it, you know, Solomon. That was quite a disappointment to David. I'm sure on the road, the two on the road to Emmaus, you read about it in Luke, we'll notice it later on, they were walking after the crucifixion, if you'll remember, and they were walking down the road, and they were a little disappointed and hanging their heads when Jesus hooked up with them and opened up their eyes. Remember that thing? We'll look at that one later on. And so life is full of disappointment. And I want to say to you, number one, tonight, that the reality of disappointment. You are going to be disappointed. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. Your job might disappoint you. You know, you might get a job, and it's going to disappoint me. You know, you get a job, and we're all happy when we get a job, aren't we? You know, I'm glad. I've always been happy to get a job. You know, if I've been out of work, I like to work, and I like to stay busy. I like the money that I get. And, you know, but we our job will disappoint us. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, and look at verse 20. The Bible says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. Don't worry about it. If thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, but be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. If you get some kind of a job tonight, you ought to just stick with it no matter what. Even through the disappointment, a job will disappoint you. Look over here to Luke chapter 5 tonight. Luke chapter 5. Luke and chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke. And notice Luke chapter 5 and look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, as the people passed upon him, that's the Lord Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And notice verse 5. And Simon answered, this is their occupation. This is their job. They're fishermen. They're commercial fishermen. And I know a little bit about that. And it's quite a difficult job. And he said in verse 5, you know what happened? They were getting stoned out there. You know, I've been out fishing, and we would pull in our nets, and all we got was water. We called it a water haul. or else all we got was a bunch of kelp or something. That's what they were doing. They were washing out their nets. All they got was a bunch of oakum and kelp, you know. And they didn't get any fish. And Simon, in verse 5, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I'm just saying to you tonight that they were disappointed. They've been working all night, and they still, it doesn't seem like they were getting ahead. You know, your job will disappoint you. No, there's something else that'll disappoint you. Go over here to Job in chapter 2. I'm just saying the reality of disappointment tonight. There's everything in life will disappoint you. Every occupation, everything you do. Your church will disappoint you. We'll get into that in a little while. Look at Job chapter 2. But you know what? Your spouse will disappoint you. I don't like to say that. Here we got a couple of newlyweds here tonight, and they're happily married and just loving one another. And I think we ought to always, like, our marriages ought to get better instead of worse.
Amen.
Amen. I think they ought to just get better. My marriage has gotten better, hasn't it, Jane? Yeah. And our marriages ought to just get better and better and better. And if the honey's out, go put some in it. Amen? And just dip it in some honey and get the thing moving again. Amen? I like that. I think that's right. But you know, your wife will disappoint you and your husband will disappoint you. You notice Job over here. He's married and he's got 10 kids. You know, he's got his quiver full. Amen. He's got, the Bible says that children are heritage of the Lord. Happy is the man, as arrows are in the quiver of a mighty in the quiver of a mighty man, so are children. And something like that. Oh, something like that. And they had a lot of children. I think they had a good marriage, but when there was a problem that came into the light, look it over here and you know, Job had some problems and God allowed the devil to afflict him, not only taking his children, but afflicted him financially, afflicted him emotionally, and afflicted him physically. He's sitting over there, and he's got these boils, and verse 8 says, and he took on him a potsherd to scrape himself with all, and he sat down among the ashes, and he's scraping himself with a little piece of broken pottery, and those boils must itch or something. He had them from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And look at his wife says in verse 9. She said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Woo! Now, how'd you like to have that, honey? I mean, here he's going through H-E double hell, and his wife says, why don't you just quit? Honey, you disappoint me. You know, your wife will disappoint you. Your husband will disappoint you. But he said unto her, I'm just using the wife as an example tonight. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips, except that Job said, shut up, woman. Isn't that in there? Oh, in the Greek or the Hebrew. I want to tell you something tonight. Your wife will disappoint you. Your marriage. It'll be disappointing. I don't mean to say this. I don't mean to discourage you tonight, but there's going to come a point where it happens. You can get disappointed. Amen? And we don't look forward to those times, and I don't, for this young couple and Sarah to get married, I don't, you know, just expect it. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to get in the flesh, and that's just what happens. I don't want that to happen. It ought not to happen, but it happens, and disappointments happen. You know, your children will disappoint you. Go over here to 2 Samuel in chapter 18. 2 Samuel in chapter 18. This is just kind of a message that'll try to encourage you tonight when we get there. In 2 Samuel in chapter 18, we got the story going about Absalom. I want to tell you something. Absalom's a disappointing son. I mean, your kids will disappoint you, but I don't think anybody disappointed a father like Absalom disappointed David. I mean, he tried to have him killed. Have your kids tried to have you killed yet? They probably wish you were, but they haven't tried it yet. And he tried to take away the kingdom from his own dad. He tried to take things away from him. And they caught up with him, and Joab took that knife of his and flung him. And you know, when they caught up with him, you know, he told Joab, don't you kill him. You leave him alone. I mean, we want to capture the boy, but don't kill him. And as soon as he saw me, man, he says, hey, we saw Absalom. He got hung up by his long hair. That's the day God hung a hippie, you know. And he was hung up there by his long hair. And he said, did you kill him? He says, no, just get over there and get the job done. And he went over there. You know, Joab was thinking, he was David's captain. He was thinking, I don't want another rebellion coming up because sure as shooting, man. Listen, David was letting his emotions overrule the right thing. Because Absalom should have been put out of commission. He should have been put, and he was. Joab was right, I believe. And in verse 31, when they came, and behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, that means news, and for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. He understood that he was dead. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would that I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. You know what, tonight, folks, your children will disappoint you. They're not going to live up to your expectations all the time. And they will disappoint you tonight. Mark it down. My children will disappoint me. As I have disappointed my parents, I know I have. And your children will disappoint you. There's a lot of disappointments in life, and a lot of ways that they come a lot of different ways that they come our way. I'm sure Eli was disappointed in his two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. They went over by the temple and were whoring around with all the women that came around there to give sacrifices. Look over here to Luke chapter 15. Luke in chapter 15. Luke 15. I'm just moving tonight. This is a very practical type of a message. We gave you a lot of doctrine this morning on angels and hell. And now we'll just give a little more practical and lighten up a little bit, but something that'll help you. Look at Luke chapter, because you're going to have it. This is called practical Christian living. Look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me, gimme, you know, the portion of goods that follows to me, and he divided unto them his living. Daddy shouldn't have done that, but he did. That was one of Daddy's faults. He shouldn't have given, you know, you give your kids too much. You shouldn't do it. Shouldn't just give them to them whatever they want. Amen. They ought to earn some things. And you ought not to just give them everything. And just whatever they want. You know, this kid was not ready to get what he got. It's just like they give, our government gives the Indians or Native Americans, or they used to give them so much of a grant or so much money when they turn 18 or something like that. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. Most of them. And I know, because I pastored a whole church full when I was back in North Dakota, spend it all within about 3-4 months. You know, and they just goes down the drain. And so he says, and he divided unto him his living. And verse 13 said, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in welfare. in want. Excuse me. In want. Because that's exactly what he did. You know, where were his friends then? Amen? I mean, someone said the saddest words in a poker game are, deal me out. And amen. Now, some of you don't get that, but that's fine. And where was his friends now? Everybody's friends when you got money. Everybody's your buddy. You young people, you're going to find that out. When you got the bucks, you're going to be a popular dude. But when you don't have the bucks, they ain't coming around. Weasels will come around when you got a car and when you got some money. I know what I'm talking about. I used to have a guy I knew. He could smell this stuff. He could smell it. Because when I had a wad, he'd come around. And when I was getting down to just about having nothing, mysteriously he would disappear until the wad came back again. And that's the truth. God is my witness. That old boy only came around when I had money. And amen. And I'll tell you, don't you know, as this boy went down there, you know he heard he got right. You know he got right. Look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's a good thing to say, you know. And he came to himself, folks, you know. If you get out, and as you young people, and you get out of God's will, and you get out in the world, I hope you come to yourself. I hope you wake up, you know, before it's eternally too late and get back where the blessings are and get back where you ought to be. And you know, in verse 20 it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." I like that part in the Bible. I mean, you know what that dad was looking. You know, I think, you know, that prodigal son, that's what they call him, because prodigal means waster. And he wasted his life with riotous living. And I know, don't you know that dad was looking for him? But don't you know he disappointed his dad? Amen? Yeah, he disappointed his father. Your children disappoint you. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 26. I'm talking about disappointment tonight. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Look at Matthew chapter 26. I know, you know, some of us are going to be real disappointed one of these days when our parents don't get saved or our loved ones. That's a real disappointment. I was talking to someone just recently and says, you know, people, they just aren't excited because I got saved. I says, well, welcome to the club. Not everybody's excited when you get saved. And you know, your old buddies, old so-called buddies, they'll disappoint you, you know, because you expect that everybody's happy because you got saved. Amen. And then you get shocked back into reality that they just don't really give a flip. You know, they don't really care. You know, and that's a disappointment. And it'll be a disappointing thing that when you don't see your dad in heaven or your mother in heaven or your children in heaven. I'm sure that's going to be a disappointment one of these days. I know that'll disappoint me. It really will. I want to see my family in heaven, don't you? I want to see my dad in heaven. I want to see him in heaven. I'll see my mom in heaven. I know that because she trusted Christ as her Savior. Look at Matthew chapter 26. I'll tell you something else that'll disappoint you. Church members will disappoint you. You see? Your church members and your pastor will disappoint you. I'll disappoint you. I don't want to. I don't want to do it on purpose, but I'll disappoint you. I just won't live up to your... You think I'm perfect. But, you know, you stick around long enough, you find out that I'm not. I'll disappoint you. But church members will disappoint you. You people will disappoint me. You will disappoint me. I expect great things out of Christians. I really do. I really do. I expect if you get born again and you get the Spirit of God in you, that you ought to get on fire for God and do something for God. I think when you get saved, you ought to start going to church every church service. I think you ought to get baptized first, join the church, start tithing, go and soul winning, go to prayer meeting. I tell you what, and go whole hog. And that, you know, but that just doesn't happen with people. You know, they just dilly-dally around and goof around, and that disappoints your pastor. It really does. I get disappointed. And because I think that when I got it, everybody else ought to get the same dose that I got. If you don't got it, man, maybe you need to get it. You know, so I didn't get it like you got it. Well, maybe you didn't get it. You know, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place, his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he said, sit ye here. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You know, this is a place where the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And then he said unto them in verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Carry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face. I'm glad he went a little farther, aren't you? And further, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible. I'm glad he went all the way. I'm glad Jesus went all the way. He not only went just a little further, he went all the way. Until he said it was finished. And he said he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them what? And saith unto them, Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Don't you know that disappointed the Lord? You know, here's his church. The Lord's got a church going here. And his church, he said to his church members, sit ye here. I'm got to go pray, and would you watch for me with me for a while? And I'm going to pray. Why don't you just sit and sit here for a while? I'm going to be over here. You watch what's going on around here. And he come back, and he found him sleeping on the job. That was a disappointment. I'm sure it was a disappointment to the Lord. Don't you know that Peter disappointed the Lord? He said, though all men shall deny thee, yet I'll not deny thee. And he said, Peter, you're going to disappoint me this very night. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And church members will disappoint you. You know what happened when, don't you know that Judas disappointed him? I mean, here's a man that he loved. And the Bible says in John chapter 13, when Judas was there, Christ, after the supper was ended, he took his garment and wrapped it around like an apron and washed every one of their feet. And the Bible says, having loved them, he loved them unto the end, Judas included. And then he goes out and did his dirty work. And Peter goes and deny him. And when Christ is taken and betrayed, and they take him away to be scourged and to be examined by Pilate and Herod, all the disciples took off. You know, when the going gets tough, the old boy said, the tough get going. You know, I like that phrase. But they took off. Don't you know that disappoint? Your church members, you'll disappoint one another. You say, I thought right away when I got saved that, man, this is on heaven on earth. That's in the Bible, you know. I was going to preach on that tonight, but look at Proverbs chapter 15. I found out after a while of being saved, a year or so, that all church members weren't angels. You know, they just aren't angels. You know, look at Jeremiah, look at Proverbs chapter 15. I'm just talking, first of all, tonight about the reality of disappointment. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Here's something else that'll disappoint you tonight. Material things that you don't have. Amen? Sure. Sure, that happens, doesn't it? You wish you could have that, and then you don't get it, and you're disappointed. Amen? That's right. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16. It says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. That's the problem. People want the great treasure, but they don't want the trouble. I'll tell you, with great treasure comes a lot of trouble sometimes. He said, better is a dinner of herbs, just a, you know, a little salad, you know, a good old salad, which is probably better for you, where love is, than a stalled ox having, you know, a prime rib or a T-bone or a porterhouse, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith, you see. You know what will disappoint you tonight? Just not having and things like other people have. Sure, that disappoints you. Come on, be honest with me tonight. You know that disappoints you. You wish you had a brand new car like I'm going to have. Maybe. You know, boy, I wish I, you know, and I just can't afford that now. Well, maybe one of these days you can if you work hard enough. Hey, man, you might have one. But you get disappointed at things we don't have, material things. Hey, you still got God. You still got God. You know, back down there, there was a meeting down there in Florida once, and I read it and about it. And Brother Roloff, you know, he preached against TV and preached against, oh, man, everything, man. I mean, rock music. I mean, he preached against, preached on being a vegetarian, and he wasn't total vegetarian, but eating right, you know, and memorizing scripture. And he preached against worldliness and having ladies dress right and men look right and act like men. And then Ruckman would get up on the same meeting and he'd preach about all the different Bible versions and how they're corrupt and all that. And some gal came up to one of those preachers after and says, well, Brother Roloff, he got us to throw all our TVs away and all our movies and all of our things, that radios and tapes that weren't wrong. And you came up here and you told us to throw all those Bibles and those Bible versions. All the, what do we got left? Still got God.
Amen.
Still got God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
take your Bible, if you would, tonight and go to Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. Now I want to say secondly tonight that disappointment is a reality. And secondly tonight, I want to show you the results of disappointment. Now you better watch it. You better watch it. I mean, if your job disappoints you, or if your spouse disappoints you, or if your children disappoint you, and your church member disappoints you, or your pastor disappoints you, or just not having something like somebody else has, you better watch it, because some things can happen, and you better watch out. Look over here at Ephesians in chapter 4. Look at verse 31. It says in verse 31, it says, I let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all what? And be kind-hearted or tender-hearted, kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what can happen because of your bitter, your disappointments tonight? You can get bitter. You can get bitter. A lot of people bitter because they've been disappointed by a spouse or their children or their parents or their job or something or other, or not having what they think they should have, and they get bitter and they blame God. And if it happens in a marriage and there's a divorce or something, children get bitter. Children get bitter. One spouse gets mad at the other, and he's a dirty old, you know what I'm talking about. And he's a and she's a dirty good never, and people never get over that thing, and they get bitter, and they can never forgive because of a disappointment. You better watch it tonight. You better watch it tonight. You better not allow those things to get you bitter and start blaming everybody else. Things just happen. Disappointments happen. Just happen. Don't let them get to you. I mean, don't you know that? You know what happened in our text tonight, one of our texts? David's men started wanting to stone him. They got all upset. Was it David's fault that the men, Amalekites had come in and taken his wife and children and their possessions? It wasn't David's fault. It just happened. They got upset. You better watch it tonight. Read your Bible, go to Luke chapter 24. Are you with me? Just a practical thing tonight. You say, well, this hasn't happened to me yet. It will. One of these groups will disappoint you, if not every one of them. I'm sure that every one of them, every one of them has happened to me in one way or the other. I'm just being honest with you tonight. I'm sure my jobs have disappointed me, and people have disappointed me, and my pastor has disappointed me, and my church members have disappointed me. My wife has disappointed. My children have disappointed me. I've disappointed them. I've disappointed my wife. They've all happened. But you better watch out and not be bitter and blame somebody else because they happen. I'm going to talk to you later on the resources of disappointment, so hang on. Look at Luke chapter 24, the end of the gospel. It says in verse 13, as I alluded to earlier, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things, these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk? And are they're disappointed, folks. They're disappointed. Why are you guys so sad? Why are you guys walking on your, walking on your bottom lip? Why you got the pooch face? Huh? Amen. Why are you feeling sorry for yourself? Why are you so sad? And one of those, verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what? I like this. What things? I like that. Who said what things? You know, the Lord knew, didn't he? I like that part. I mean, you know, he wanted him to talk to him. You know what he wanted? Jesus wanted? He says, I want you to talk to me about me. I like that. You know, the Lord wants us to talk about him. Amen. It's good to talk about the Lord and how good he is and what he's done. That's why we have a time of testimony. That's why we say, hey, got any prayers answered? You've been talking to him? You know why we don't have testimonies about prayers answered? Because somebody ain't talking to him. Yeah. He said, what thing? Talk to me. Tell me about me. I like that. You think that's egotistical, but I don't. Amen. He deserves it all. He says, tell me about it. What things? I like that. He said, they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which had redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since those things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels. Remember, there were men back there in another passage? And which said that he was alive. And certain them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women said, but him they saw not. You know what these guys are getting ready to do? They're getting ready just to quit on the whole thing. Why? Because they've been disappointed. You know what disappointment will do tonight to you? It'll make you want to quit. Sure. Now, I tell you, I've been a pastor, I don't know, about, well, you know, I think I was born a pastor. I was born again one. As soon as I got saved, I wanted to start a church. 2 months after I was saved, Pastor Blue said, hold on, boy, hold on, cut your hair first. He didn't say that. Get rid of the necklace first, and you just, you know. You're gonna have to fine tune this boy here first, you know, hold this fort here, and I'm glad he did. I could have made some big mistakes, but anyway, you know, I've been disappointed a lot. I wanted to quit a couple of times. I wanted to quit in Missoula one time. Just worked here for a couple of years and nothing was happening, and I just wanted to quit. And I've been, disappointment will cause you to want to quit. I mean, if your wife disappoints you, you want to quit. If your pastor disappoints you, you want to quit the church. It happens. If your children disappoint you, you want to just, well, what's the use? Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Whip your kids till Jesus comes. Discipline them. I mean, till they're out of the house. I mean, get things right with your wife and your husband and get things right and don't quit because you've been disappointed. You know, I mean, listen, it's just stupid today the way people are. It's just ridiculous. Just gets me upset. One little thing happens and people just gotta quit. I showed you there's so many things. Listen, then you'd be quitting every day. You know, these preachers say, it's a bad time to call a preacher on Monday. Every preacher wants to quit on Monday. I've never thought that. Maybe, like I said, a couple of times, but not on Monday. maybe Sunday morning. Especially when you come to church and there's six people, and they're all your own family. You know, now that's disappointing. I'm sure it's disappointing to them, too. They got to hear, I'm sure it's disappointing to my kids. They got to hear the same old sermon over again. And they got to hear the same old jokes and the same old, you know. Well, I'll tell you, you get disappointed, you want to quit. But you aren't supposed to. Don't quit. Hey, quitters never win. And amen? Quitters never win. And winners never quit. We're on the winning side. Don't quit. I can't stand quitters. I really can't. I tell you, Brother Heil says you ought to cut two words out of your dictionary, he says to his incoming freshman. He says, cut out the word compromise and the word quit. And I believe that. That's pretty good. I like that. Don't compromise. You're a Bible believer. You ought to get some standards in your life and some convictions about the Word of God and the doctrines of the Bible and the church and stick with them and never compromise them. And then when you get disappointed or get a nose hair in there, cross-eyed, cross-weighed, and, you know, or whatever, just pick the thing out, man, throw it away, move on for God. Don't quit. I hate quitters. I don't like quitters. Anybody can quit. It takes a dead fish to go down the stream. It takes a live one to go against it. Don't quit. I can't stand quitters. Man alive. Got to have a marriage annulment. What is that anyway? A marriage annulment. Yeah. What is it? I read the divorces in the paper when they're in there. I see one time I read in there out of 25 divorces, 5 of them were people that used to come to our church. Got their nose hair bent. They got their nose bent out of shape a little bit and left the church. Ended up in divorce court. The Stovens have been around for a while. They know some of them. What is an annulment? It never happened. Never happened. Well, something happened. Hey, lastly tonight, take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, would you? I better move on. I'm not asking if this makes sense tonight, because I know it does. When I preach stuff that's kind of difficult, then I always like to see if it's making sense. But I know this makes sense. This is just where the rubber meets the road. You know, you say, why didn't you preach on heaven tonight? We sang about heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. You know what's happening in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Paul's got a problem. Amen?
Yep.
He's got a problem. You know what he's got? He's got a thorn in the flesh. He said, verse 6, he says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, excuse me, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, excuse me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Here Paul has a thorn in the flesh. And I don't know, some said it was his wife, but Paul, I don't believe, was married. But it was a thorn in the flesh. Now, a thorn is, it can be a physical thing, but it also can be people. If you look in your Bible and look up the word thorns, it can be people. Back in Numbers in chapter 33 and Joshua 29 and Judges 2 and Ezekiel 28. You can see that. So Paul, whatever it was, whether it was a physical ailment or whether it was some guy that was just tailing him all the time and giving him problems, Paul, look at verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And you know what? It did not. Paul had a problem. It could have been a person. It could have been an infirmity, something physical. And don't you know that's a disappointment? Don't you know that would be discouraging? And you know what's more discouraging than that? He went to the Lord three times and ask, Lord, take this bird away from me. Kill him. Get him out of here. Heal me. Whatever might have been the case. And the Lord didn't see fit to take that away. Don't you know that was a disappointment? Haven't you had a problem in your life and you go to him and you say, God, help me here. This is a disappointment. I expect more than this. I'm hoping and wishing and desiring. This is a frustration. God, take this thing away. And he doesn't take it away. That's a disappointment. But you know what your resource is? It's going to be the same resource that was the Apostle Paul's. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, what? Is what? You know what sufficient means? That's enough. Sufficient means enough to meet the need. You see what you know what your resource is in the day of disappointment? It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Whatever your disappointment is tonight, folks, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's your pastor, whether it's finances, whether it's some other person, maybe something on your job, whatever it is, God's grace is sufficient for you. It'll help you get through the thing. Listen, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And his grace is sufficient. It's for you. It's for me. God has he has manifold grace, the Bible talks about. He's got a whole bank full of it. He's got enough for every individual in here tonight. He can meet every and help you with every problem of every individual in this church and every other church in the world tonight. Amen. He can help you. But I'll tell you something, folks. He's not going to help you unless you avail yourself of it. Are you with me? If you want to stay disappointed and stay bitter and stay stupid and stay angry and be a fool, then do it. Hello? Because God's made provision. Amen. God's made provision for your salvation. You want to bypass the cross? Then go to hell. God's made provision. I'll tell you something else. Look over here to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I'm almost done. Look at Psalm 73. Look at Psalm 73. You know, I've been in this psalm a lot. And made a lot of comments out of this thing. But the thing is the psalmist is complaining. And it says in verse 3, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, I mean, here's the wicked. You know the wicked. Doesn't it bug you sometimes? You know, they live like the devil, and they don't have any problems. Well, they might not have any problems here. I'll tell you what, they're going to have big problems one day. And sometimes we look at them and say, man, I'm living for God and trying to do right, and look at what's happening to me. And you know what this guy said? What a lot of Christians say. This is not fair. I don't like fair. I don't like that word, this is not fair, and I don't like share, but I hate when people say, this is not fair. That's what this guy was saying. This is not fair. See, I'm trying to live for God. And they aren't. Yeah, right. Thank you. Give me some effects. Good. Yeah, that's enough. That was good. That was very good. Very good. Good job. I'll tell you your resource tonight. Look at verse 15. He said, if I should say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Watch verse, what's the first word of verse 17? Until I went into the what? Then of God, then understood I therein. This guy woke up. Why? Because he went to church. Heard the preaching of the Bible and the teaching of the Bible. When you get envious and discouraged at seeing the prosperity of the wicked and how they do their own thing, and they're like Ted Kennedy. Doesn't seem like he's, you know, like he's getting away with Chappaquiddick, you know? Like someone said, what was that? What did Ted Kennedy and Clinton? No, what? Yeah. What does Kennedy have? What? A dead girlfriend. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the truth. That's the truth. He really wishes he would. But the thing is until I went into the sanctuary of God, you know, you see Kennedy getting away with all this stuff. He's got away with a lot of stuff. But he ain't going to get away with it on that day. You can't get your eyes on the wicked. You can't get your eyes on their possessions. You can't get your eyes on their thing. This guy was backslidden until he went to church, got the preaching of the Word of God. You know what your resource is when you're disappointed and getting a little backslidden and getting a little discouraged? Is the Word of God.
Amen.
And go to church and get preached to. Get the fellowship.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says, I'll show you something in just a second. The Bible says a lot of stuff. Take your Bible, go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm not done yet. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. You've got some resources with disappointment tonight. It's the grace of God. It's the Word of God. See, I've all heard that stuff before. Well, do it then. And avail yourself of it. Look at Colossians chapter 3, and would you look at verse 15? It says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That'll help you, folks. Just start being thankful. And he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Watch it now. Teaching and admonishing, say the next two words. One another. Do you know what one of your resources is God's children. Amen. God's children. You got disappointments. That's why you ought to come to church. That's why you ought to get involved. That's why you ought to have good Christian friends.
Yeah.
Because they can teach
and admonish one another. Remember, the Bible says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a friend the countenance of his friend. That's why you ought to have good friends. Why? Because when a, listen, everybody has disappointments. Everyone in here tonight, you've had disappointments. Either this week or last week, or you're going to have them next week. And they can cause you to get bitter and angry and stupid and act like a fool. But you better get, you better avail yourself of the resources of God. It's the grace of God, the Word of God, and God's children. Getting in the church and singing the songs about Zion. You know that, listen, I got a disappointment. I come into the pulpit sometimes, and I've just had some kind of a disappointment. But I get in here and start singing, and man alive, I felt my face getting red today, singing that, "It is well with my soul, man." I don't know, man. It must have been, did anybody see my face? Because I didn't want to, was it red? I mean, it was as red as this young boy's, Nicholas's shirt today. I'm sure it was, because I get red in the face. I'm getting into it, man. And anything that I had out there dissolved when I came in here and I saw your faces and saw you singing.
Amen.
And saw you here,
amen.
You see, and started talking to people and saying, "Hey, it's good to see you. Praise God." God's children,
yeah,
can encourage you.
Yep.
That's your resources. So, hey, that's why the Bible says, let us provoke one another unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some are, but so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That's a good reason to go to church, to hear the Word of God, and to be with God's people. People say, "Well, I've had a problem in my life, so I'm not going to church tonight." That's the time you already ought to go. Say, "I just don't feel like going to church." That's when you really need to. "I don't feel like reading my Bible." That's when you really need to. "I don't feel like praying." That's when you really need to. "I just can't pray." Then just do it, because you really need it then. Lastly, go back to our text in 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 30. I don't know how it happened, and I don't know exactly how David did it, but I want to tell you something, folks. The enemy came in. They took David's wife. They took his children. You know, the enemy's after your spouse. He's after your children. He'd like to get all your possessions. He'd like to get everything. The devil would like that tonight. He came in, and that's what happened. And after even David's men were about to stone him, I want you to notice the last part of verse 6. We read it before. It said, David, what? Encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you don't get in the habit, listen, that didn't happen. Listen, David, he immediately went to the Lord. But if you don't get in the habit of tomorrow morning getting up and reading your Bible and having a time with the Lord and talking to him in the good times, well, then when the bad, the disappointing times come around, and they're coming, and they're right around the corner, it's going to be very helpful. You know what you're going to do? You're not going to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're not in the habit of going to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, if something happened to you tonight, you know what you ought to do? You ought to encourage yourself of what God's done for you.
Amen.
"Oh, God, you saved my soul.
Amen.
I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Oh, God, thank you for saving me. I was a bad sinner and a wicked sinner, and you saved me." You kids, you ought to thank God that you got good parents.
Amen. Amen.
They brought you to church tonight.
Yep. Right.
You could encourage yourself, "Oh, God, thank you for saving Dad and Mom."
Amen.
You can thank God for what he did do and encourage yourself that way. You can encourage God, yourself and the Lord, by what God is doing right now. I thank God for that class, all the Sunday school classes, but especially I'm not into all the other ones, my wife's and Sarah Anderson's, but especially these young scenes and how they're memorizing scripture and how they're growing in the Lord. And David's yelling and beating their, you know, yelling at them down there all the time, which is good for them. And getting on their sin and stepping on their toes, isn't he? Doing something down there. But you ought to thank God what he's doing right now in your life. You can thank what he's doing presently. You can thank God and encourage the Lord, yourself and the Lord by what he's going to do one of these days. He's taking you out of this place. David encouraged himself. But if you don't encourage, if you don't go to the Lord tomorrow morning and get in the habit of it every day, then when that disappointment comes, it's going to be pretty difficult for you. You're not going to want to suck your thumb. Amen. And quit. And get bitter. David encouraged himself. Encouraged himself. I like to encourage people. But he encouraged himself. Where? In the Lord. That's where true encouragement comes from. It's the Lord. Get to know him, huh? I'm afraid for many of us, he's kind of a stranger. David just opened up the door. I mean, the door of prayer. And he's right in communion with God. I'm afraid sometimes we've been so out of touch with God that we have to go through a number of doors until we can finally feel like we're in his presence. That making sense? It ought to just be instantaneous like that. As soon as something happens, we can immediately open up the door and we're right in his very presence. And have to go through, you know, we have to go through so many times. We have to go through the door of confession. Man, I'm sorry I haven't been here before, Lord. I'm sorry I'm treating you like a doctor or a lawyer. And by the time you get up there, man, I mean it's another half hour away. You better learn to go to the Lord right away. Well, amen. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we're not happy about disappointments and the oppressions that come our way, the frustrations, dear Lord. We're not happy about them, but that's life. Those things happen. And I'm sure maybe tonight there are, I didn't list everything that can disappoint people, but we touched on the main things. And we've all experienced those things. And God help us not to play the fool and get bitter and unforgiving. And because of those that disappoint us and get mad at them and hate them. Oh God, we're Christians. We're saved by the blood. We've got a different spirit than the spirit of the world. And we ought to be different because we are different. Positionally, we're different. Oh, how we might practically be different. Oh God, tonight may we use and avail ourselves of the resources that thou hast given us to overcome disappointments. Lord, this week, people are going to have disappointments. I'm sure I'm going to. One way or the other, it might be this or that. God, help us not to fly off the handle. Help us to just sit down and think before we act. God, remember the message. Go to you and cast everything upon you. Because you really care for us. In Jesus' name I pray.